Canto 7, Chapter 8. Lord Narishima Deva slays the king of the demons. Narada Muni said to Yudhishthira, having heard his explanations, all the attending Daitya sons accepted his words because of their profundity and rejected what their teachers had taught them. When the two sons of the Guru, Shukracharya's sons Shanda and Amarika, realized how the intelligence of the boys had gotten fixed on this one subject matter, they fearfully contacted the king to submit to him what was going on. All over his body trembling with anger and with a mind determined to kill his son, he rebuked Prahlada. With the harshest words, he furiously, with an angry face and crooked, wicked eyes, approached him who did not deserve such a treatment at all. He, from his side, gentle and restrained, just stood there with his hands folded before his father, who was hissing like a vicious snake trampled upon. Hiranyakashipu said, "O you impudent fool, you intriguer of the family! You outcast, you so obstinate, going against my rule! Today I will send you to the abode of Yamaraj. When I am angry, all inhabitants of the three worlds and their leaders tremble for me. By what power do you so fearlessly overstep my rule, you rascal?" Prahlada said, "He is not only my strength, but also yours, O king, as also the strength of all other exalted and lower living beings. All beings moving around and who do not move around, beginning with Lord Brahma, fall under his control. He, the supreme controller of time, Urukrama, the lord of the great strides, Vamana, is the one strength of one's mind and life, the steadiness of one's physical power and senses. He, the true self, is the supreme master of the three basic qualities, who, by his different natural forces, creates, maintains, and withdraws again the entire universe. Please give up your Asura way. Be of an equal mind with the soul and create no enemies. Destroy only the enemy that is an uncontrolled mind. That approach constitutes the best method to worship the unlimited Lord. In the past, there were plunderers who, not in control of the six enemies, the mind and the five senses, stole away everything. Others saw themselves as conquerors of the ten directions. But with a saint who managed to defeat his senses and is of an equal regard for all living beings, where are those enemies found who result from one's own imagination?" Sri Hiranyakashipu said, "You, apparently, with your unlimited pretenses, seek your own demise. You prove that people about to die talk gibberish, you pitiful idiot. You, unlucky soul, you talk of someone other than me who would be the controller of the universe, but where is he to be found? If he is omnipresent, then why do I not see him in this pillar right in front of me? Let that Lord, whom you wished yourself as your protector, protect you, now that I am going to sever your head from your trunk, now that I am going to put an end to someone talking such nonsense like you." Thus, with a stream of abuses, enraged, chastising that great devotee, his son, Hiranyakashipu, who rose from his throne and took up his sword, with his fist struck hard against the column. That very moment, from within the column, a most fearful sound could be heard, as if the covering of the universe cracked open. That sound, dear king, reached as far as the place of the godly souls of Lord Brahma and made them believe the destruction of their abodes was at hand. He who in his display of power wanted to kill his son also heard the tumultuous sound one had never heard before. Together with the assembly present, he stood amazed about the fact that one could not determine its origin. Thus, all these men of power were beset by fear. To be true to the words that were spoken in defense of his omnipresence, of his pervading each and everything, one could see a most wonderful form of him taking shape in a pillar in the middle of the assembly hall. It was neither an animal nor a man. The king, studying the phenomenon from all sides, saw how a living being emerged from the middle of the pillar, but not being able to ascertain whether it was an animal or a human being, he said, amazed, "What kind of form is this? It is half man and half lion." As he was contemplating the miracle that took place in front of him, the extraordinary, most frightening form of Nrisimha Deva appeared. He had eyes glowing like molten gold and deadly teeth in a face extending into manes. Looking around with a dreadful frown, he waved his tongue like a razor-sharp sword. His ears stood motionless straight up, and his nostrils and mouth were opened wide like mountain caves. His huge body was short and fat, with a broad neck and a broad chest over a small waist. His body was covered with whitish hairs resembling the rays of the moon, and hundreds of arms stretched in all directions were equipped with hard-to-challenge fatal nails that served as weapons, next to his other personal weapons. Faced with that excellence, the Daityas and Danavas fled away. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, "I guess this is what the Lord so full of mystical potency is trying to do in order to get me killed, but what's the use?" And thus taking up his mace, the Daitya threw himself forward like an elephant to attack the loudly roaring Lord Nrisimha. As invisible as an insect that has fallen into a fire, the Asura disappeared in the effulgence of Nrisimha. It was not so astonishing that moment, considering the fact that he formerly, by the effulgence of his goodness, had swallowed the darkness of the entire creation. The greatest of the demons reaching Lord Nrisimha, thereupon, furiously, with great force exercising his prowess, struck him with his club. But the Lord, the wielder of the club, seized him just like the son of Tarksha would capture a great snake. O son of Bharata, when he, in order to play a game, allowed the Asura to slip from his hands, exactly the way Garuda sometimes deals with his snake, the godly souls of the different worlds, who were driven from their positions, from behind the clouds, considered that a bad turn of events. The demon, thinking that he had let him go out of fear for his display of power, after regaining his strength, took up his sword and shield, and with great force again attacked Nrisimha Deva. When he, with his moon-spotted shield and sword, as fast as a hawk was maneuvering up and down, so as not to offer any opportunity, the Lord made a very shrill, loud sound of laughter that was so frightening that he, with his eyes for a moment closed, was captured by the greatest of all speed. In protest, he with his limbs wrestling tried to escape, but the Lord placed him, whose skin could not even be cut by Indra's thunderbolt, at the entrance of the palace on his lap, like he was a snake or a mouse, and pierced him with his nails as easy as Garuda pierces a poisonous viper. With his most fearful eyes full of anger, he was difficult to behold. With his mouth wide open, licking the edges with his tongue, and with his mane and face smeared red with traces of blood, he wore the intestines like a garland around his neck, and looked like a lion that just has killed an elephant. The heart he with his pointed nails had ripped out completely and thrown aside, and the thousands of followers who with their raised weapons attended to their leader, he all killed, using his nails and the other weapons in his countless hands. Shaking his manes, he scattered the clouds, and with his glaring glance he outshone the luminaries. The waters and oceans, struck by his breathing, swirled in perturbation, and afraid of his roar, the elephants guarding the quarters of the universe cried. With him tossing his hair, the celestial chariots crowding in the sky were shoved from their places. The earth shook under the heavy weight of his feet. His intolerable force moved the mountains and hills, and his effulgence outshone everything else in all directions of the sky. Thereafter, sitting in the assembly hall on the highest seat of man, with a most fearsome, terrible countenance, there was no one to challenge him, nor anyone to worship him. But upon hearing how he, the Daitya, who was the headache of the three worlds, in the battle had been killed by the Lord, there were exclamations of joy, blossoming faces, and endless showers of flowers from the wives of the demigods. At that time, there was an overcast formed by all the celestial chariots of the demigods desirous to attend. Drums and kettle drums were sounded, and the greatest singers and angels of heaven sang and danced. All the godly souls, Brahma, Indra and Shiva, the sages, the ancestors, the perfected souls, the scientific experts and the great serpents, assembled there. The founding fathers, the leaders of mankind, the residents of heaven and the best of the angels arrived there too, as did the venerable souls, the keepers of the wealth and the monkey-like, O my best one. Also the goblins came, the souls of superpower, as also they who were Vishnu's personal associates, like Sunanda and Kumuda, with their hands folded before their heads to offer their obeisances. Each of them approached him who had appeared as half a man, half a lion, and now sat there on the throne displaying his effulgence. Sri Brahma said, I bow down before you, O inscrutable one of unlimited powers. You, with all your might and prowess, and with the purity of your actions, stand for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. While you, in your divine game, engage with the modes, you never change yourself. Lord Shiva said, The end of the Yuga is the time suitable for you to kill in anger this insignificant demon. Just protect his son, this Bhakta of surrender next to you, O caretaker of the devotees. Sri Indra said, Our share of the sacrifices was secured by your lordship protecting us, O Supreme One. We have no words to describe the degree our lotus-like hearts were afflicted by the Daitya, our hearts that are really your residence. Alas, O Lord, how insignificant is our world in the grip of time, but for the sake of the devoted souls in your service, you have shed your light so that they may find liberation from their bondage. What else but considering the visible world as unimportant would constitute their way, O Nrisimha Deva? The sages, the rishis, said, You are the supreme example who taught us our austerity. By this power of yours, this world, O original personality of Godhead, is created, maintained, and reabsorbed. That penance was stolen by this unwise soul, but is now, O shelter of the needy, restored by the protection of your embodiment. The ancestors, the Pitris, said, Of the demon, who, engaging with force, enjoyed our Shraddha sacrifices that were offered by our sons and grandsons, of him who, even at the holy bathing places, drank from our offerings of sesame water, you now pierced the intestines of his belly with the nails of your hand, and thus have these offerings finally reached their proper destination. We offer him our obeisances, he, the maintainer of the universal principles of religion, who appeared as a man-lion. The souls of perfection, the Siddhas, said, This most uncivilized and dishonest person, who stole away the joy of our perfection in yoga, and who, with the power of his mysticism and penance, was so proud of his wealth, has been torn apart by your nails. We bow down before you, O Nrishima. The scientific experts, the Vidyadharas, said, our forms of knowledge, that each are attained by a different way of concentrating, were pushed aside by this fool puffed up about his strength and prowess. He who in battle killed him like he was an animal, to him who appeared as Nrishima, we surrendered souls are ever obliged. The snake people, the Nagas, said, by piercing the chest of that greatest of all sinners who seized our jewels and beautiful women, you have done our wives a great favor. Let us offer you our obeisances. The original fathers, the Manus, said, we, the Manus, are your authorities, but were disrespected by this son of Diti, who broke with the moral ties for the establishment, O Lord. With you having killed this villain, O Master, please tell us what we, your eternal servants, can do for you. The founding fathers, the Prajapatis, said, we, the creators of the generations, owe our lives to you, O Supreme Controller, and not to him who denied the living beings we have put on this world a life. And now, by assuming the form of an incarnation of your pure goodness, you, for the well-being of the world, have split open the chest of him who lies slain here. The musicians of heaven, the Gandharvas, said, we, O Lord, are your dancers and singers, your performers, who were brought under the control of the power and strength of the one here, who by you was reduced to this condition. Can anyone on the path of evil find happiness? The venerable souls, the Charanas, said, O Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter bestowing liberation. We duly seek our refuge there because you have put an end to this asura hiding in the heart of all virtuous people. The keepers of the wealth, the yakshas, said, we, serving you to your pleasure, belong to your best followers. This son of Diti forced us to carry his palanquin, but caused the sorrow, the poverty of each and every one. Thus we acknowledge you, O Lord Nrishima, for you are the one who put him to death, O 25th principle. The monkey-like beings, the Kimpurushas, said, we are questionable humans, Kimpurushas, but you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord. And this bad person has been slain by you after having been condemned by the saintly souls. The king's bards, the Vaitalikas, said, we, in great gatherings and arenas of sacrifice, singing the glories of your spotless reputation, have achieved the greatest position of respect. This crooked character who subdued us, O Supreme Lord, has to our great fortune been killed by you, like he was a disease. The lower gods, the Kinaras, those with a human head and an animal body, singers of heaven, said, O Lord, we, the Kinaras, are your faithful servants. Because of that son of Diti, we had to perform in forced labor, but the sinner was by you destroyed, O Nrishima Deva, O Master. Please be there as our happiness and welfare. The associates of Lord Vishnu said, today we have seen you in a wondrous human-like form. You are our shelter and the happiness of all the worlds. This servant of the state, O Lord, was cursed by the scholars and has therefore been killed. We consider that to be your special grace.